Log Talk Radio.
And the show.
What? You waiting for that?
Yeah.
Welcome to Lunchtime Wisdom on the With Insights Radio Network with your host Iggy Garcia and Mark Matheny. Sit back and relax, grab a sandwich, enjoy your lunch, and listen to some of the coolest things on the internet. Food for your soul, food for your heart. Now on to the show. Lunchtime Wisdom here on With Insights Radio on the Block Talk Radio Network. Welcome, Katie Singh and Eagle and Mark Matheny.
Hello.
Yeah. Hello. The Bald Astrologer. We're not going to go there. So, how are you doing today?
I am doing wonderful. I had a good night's sleep.
Sounds good. What about you, Mark?
Didn't sleep. Energy's so weird out for right now, but I'm weird. Let's just be honest about it. So not sleeping much, but I'm doing good. Everything's moving forward. Lots of resting things.
So we're out of retrograde now, right?
We are out of retrograde, and Mars went into Capricorn this afternoon.
Yeah, that sounds a little more
okay. Nice.
I
thought it was out of Scorpio energy or something going on.
Oh, there still is. There still is.
You know, but I could tell the difference. It was like a big shift, especially in myself. I was just, woo, shoo, I'm back.
Right. Then, so, when a planet moves from... This is a quick dissertation here. When a planet moves from one sign to another, especially when it's like Mars, which is our energy level and stuff, you feel kind of a... Because Mars was in Scorpio about like 2 months ago, and it was very intense and deep and kind of dark energy. And then Mars went into Sagittarius, and then like the rubber band comes unwound, and then like everybody got really squirrely.
Mm-hmm.
And so now Mars is with Capricorn, which is an Earth sign. It's very
grounding.
Yes. So it's like a little easier to integrate back into our bodies. Although I will just say we had and we're probably getting some of it still, a record number of solar flares in the last week, and this is something I'm fairly new to, but I'm trying to apply this astrology and the ascension stuff and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So, in fact, I kind of rewrote the definitions kind of how planetary transits are playing out now, and maybe we'll run through those 1 week on the show. But it's like the energy is so crazy right now. I mean, it's just... Things are just shifting and timing and time shifts and things all over the place. So it's, right now I think the most important thing is to be very open and to not be fixed, and the more flexible you can be on things,
mm-hmm.
so that you can, jump around.
Jump around.
Yeah, it's just things are just crazy and all over the place, and this is the new normal. This is how it's going to be.
Cool. Yeah, and Mark's going to be hosting his own show here pretty soon.
Yeah.
Like, how's pretty soon?
3 days. Friday at 11 a.m.
Very good.
And I believe this will be called Mark the Rabbit Hole.
Mark the Rabbit Hole. Okay, that's cool.
At least three meanings there I can think of.
Yeah.
One potentially dirty.
Yeah.
One personal and one a verb. Well, two could be verbs.
Just remember to plug, okay? You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Your free online holistic publication resource radio for trusting your intuition, achieving self-discovery, and following your soul self.
That's one thing we ask our hosts to play it once or twice in there. You know, just, you know, so people know what we're doing, who we are, what's going on.
Absolutely. I'll keep them to work. And,
yeah. And if you get off topic, just push the button. You get stuck, you push the button.
I'll
say push the button. That's what I'm gonna label it. Push the button.
We will be off topic, believe me.
Yeah. Well, that's good. I'm glad that you're gonna leap out and do that. And
well, I appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely.
We've got a good network built here. We're gonna keep building it.
That's
we're
right.
gonna keep expanding.
Mm-hmm.
And we're gonna get some more people with more shows on.
That's right. We're gonna move right along. We're
gonna blow this thing up.
That's right.
I am even thinking about a show. I've been thinking about one for a while.
And, you know, we also have, like, monthly segments, biweekly segments, so it doesn't have to be just every week. So for some people, it's tough to do every week, let alone every day.
Right.
We'll come up
right.
with material constantly.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But radio's fun because you get to paint this picture of what people look like. You know what they sound like, and then you have to kind of, like, paint a face to it. And then when you put the face to it, it's like, well, I didn't look like that. If I didn't, you know, it's right. They have that sexy voice on the radio, you know.
Hello there, my lovely.
And then you meet him in public, and it's like, you're shorter than I thought.
Yeah, you're much taller. In my case, they'd probably be like, oh, you're taller.
Say, size doesn't count, baby.
No, it's the how you use what you got.
That's right. How'd you choose it, man? Well, I wanted to talk a little bit about a couple things today, since we have a pretty big window of things that we can talk about. I've been kind of seeing a certain pattern here on Facebook. You know, and I use Facebook because that's kind of where I park myself a little bit more than any other place. And
yep.
Probably too.
Me too.
And outside the real world as well. I engage people. But there's two things that I've noticed. Number one, people really, it's not that they don't want to work. It's not that they want to have a job. But they want to work and have meaningful work.
Yes.
They want to be
mm-hmm.
able to go to work and be appreciated. And someone says, you know, you're doing a good job. And if you're not doing a good job, well, maybe they can correct you in a positive way instead of a negative light. Yeah, that's one thing. Two is people checking out.
Mm-hmm.
When I mean checking out, you can check out mentally, emotionally, spiritually, physically.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can just take your own life. Depression is a big issue. I'm not saying mm-hmm. that I am an expert on depression, but, you know, I've had depressing moments, and so have as everybody on the show and our listeners. And I think those are kind of important things because I think sometimes we have mixed emotions about, you know, someone who takes their lives, why, you know, they did it or they shouldn't have done it, or we put a really big judgment on it. You know, we really condemn the person because a lot of the times we condemn them because of our upbringing, because of our religious backgrounds and whatever. And so we have, you know, only that to gauge on and use it towards. I'm kind of on the mind that, you know, who's really to decide anybody's life at any given moment?
Mm-hmm.
Who's to say that they're actually... I mean, I'm not saying anybody's sick here. I'm just saying that we can't be in someone's head. Even a person that we perceive as normal,
mm-hmm.
somebody who we think, oh, they're normal, you know. I don't believe in normal. I don't believe there's such thing as normal.
Right.
I don't
you know?
Think there is either.
And so what I'm getting at here is, you know, when people take their own lives, I think it's, I'm not saying, maybe they know what's best for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people may really, truly and disagree with me. And is it a disease? Is it something? I don't know. You know, everything's dis-ease. We talked about wordplay.
Yep.
And depression, you know. You're in a depression, you know.
Yep.
So a lot of it's, it could be chemically, it could be imbalances. Yeah, it runs a whole gamut of things. It could be somebody bullying you and you can't handle it. And then, you know, I just think some people are here to be good teachers to us, and sometimes we're here to experience Earth in a certain light, because the three of us know that, you know, this is beautiful out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, And it's a nice world, it's beautiful, but it's also a cruel world. It can be a cruel world where, you know, if you don't follow the status quo, sometimes you kind of get thrown to the side. You made a post today similar to that about being bullied and how people treated you. And I look at you, Katie, just because of your physical appearance and, you know, maybe because of your race, you know, your background. And unfortunately, that does happen. Unfortunately, that does happen. And I don't know if it'll ever change unless people are willing to change and look at the life much different than we do.
Yeah. You've got to look at who you are and what... now, me, I have my faith. I'm very strong in my faith. And I believe what Scripture says about me, about being a child of God. We're made in the image of God. And if God doesn't make any junk, then I'm not junk.
Mm-hmm.
And if people have problems with me, that's their problem.
Okay.
And if people reject me, that's their rejection, not that I'm a person to be rejected or to be bullied. It just tells me something about that person and what's going on the inside of them, and that they're probably hurting or they've been rejected or they've been bullied or something that's going on with them, not what's going on with me, because I'm okay.
Right.
Or I think I'm okay.
Sure.
And there's nothing wrong with me. I'm perfect just the way I am. I am, those of you out there who don't know, I am a mixture of 7 different ancestries from about every continent of the world. I am also a large person, a large woman of about 300 pounds, give or take a few. And I like to wear my hair natural, and I have different personalities and wigs, and I like to wear makeup and stuff like that every now and then. But mostly, just like today, I'm sitting here in a warm-up suit, and with my little curly fro going, mm-hmm. and I'm sucking on a cherry Tootsie Roll Pop. And this is me.
Mm-hmm.
And I study, and I know of about several different religions and religious backgrounds. So, and if people have a problem with that, that's who I am. I love to laugh. I have a dirty mind. I talk smack. I can dance with the best of them. I can cry with the best of them or laugh with the best of them. So, hey, take me for who and what I am. If not, get the hell out of my face.
Well, you said it. Anything, Mark?
I can preach hellfire and brimstone if you want it too. So, go ahead, Mark.
Yep. No. Well, I mean, Katie's a wonderful person. So, you know, anyone that doesn't associate with her because one thing or another, it's their loss.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean, I don't appeal to the masses myself. I'm just, I may come across as odd or potentially.
I think we all do, to some degree.
And there comes a
creepy
point at times, I don't know.
I guess there comes a point in time where you just don't give a crap anymore.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You know?
Here's a way to destroy your life, is to live it by what everyone else's opinion is of you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I learned that was the road to hell there, my friend.
It sure is.
Yep. So I like many of my favorite quotes are by David Icke, but one of his is it's not my opinion what anybody else thinks of me.
Mm-hmm.
I put information out there. I try to make people laugh. I try to make people feel good. I pass along little tidbits of knowledge or sometimes wisdom. And what they do with that, you know, I've learned it's about taking the energy, taking the information in, letting it pass through you, absorbing what you need, and passing it out. And then letting it through. I mean, I'm not this great, wise, spiritual person. I just have lived the road less traveled, and I have some weird information that other people may not be aware of.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to pass it along because I think some of it's interesting.
Yeah, we're going to hear
and
a lot
somebody,
of your
show. Oh, you're going to hear weird stuff. Believe me. I will be.
So is that going to be an hour show, 2-hour show, 90-minute show?
I think I'm going to start with an hour. I have a list of potential guests, I think, once I get going.
Good, good. Excellent.
That I may have on. I have many weird, strange, unique friends that are
strange
have lots of
unique.
Great. Hey, that's weirder the better for me. I just don't fit into the. I promise you, it will not be boring.
Well, that I know.
So yeah, but just to the, I mean, and two, you know, one of the dangerous things, like you'd started off with people that check out and stuff, you know, sometimes life is so intense now, sometimes it's hard to be present and involved in every minute of your life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, because if you're stuck in a 9-to-5 job, or if you're, you know, in a relationship you feel you can't get out of right now, or you have some other situation, some health problems or whatever, it's hard to be present and whatnot, you know, all of the time. Now, I think that the purpose of that is to realize that there are things that are not working properly in your life, and this is a function of Saturn transits.
Mm-hmm.
Saturn goes through each house in your chart, stays in the sign for 2.5 years, and goes through and cleans up each area of your life, shows you what's not working and what is. And so then you can make adjustments
mm-hmm.
to that. Now it takes, no, I'm not preaching. I mean,
I'm a preacher here.
I got myself stuck in some situations for a long time. Took me a long time to figure out how to get out of and whatnot. But I will promise you this to everybody out there. The more you align yourself with your soul and with your spirit and
mm-hmm.
release negative things out of your life and keep adding in things that are fulfilling to your spirit, you will noticeably feel your energy shift.
And you will grow.
Right.
Grow as a person.
I am not the same person on any possible level that I was a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the reason I bring things up about, you know, depression is because I've run into people who've just lost friends and stuff, and, you know, Robin Williams, you know, he transitioned, you know, thought it was about time to go. But like I mentioned earlier, there are people who are already dead, walking. You know, they have no vigor for life. They're just,
yes.
I mean,
I'm
and they're
in
not,
there.
And you know what, and they're not depressed. They just don't have any vigor for life. There's a difference, you know, they're not walking in depressed mode. They just don't care. They're
mm-hmm.
just like, life is so hard, it's like, whatever, you know.
Yep.
And so, you know, you could be alive and just be dead from,
dead.
You know, from the neck down or neck up, whatever you want to call it, you know, but I've met a lot of those people, you know, and I don't feel sorry for them because that's their choice and their circumstances put them there. You know, I have to worry about what I can control.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can
right.
only control what happens in my life and the things that occur to me and clean on that, you know, and work on, you know, how I can manifest and recreate things in my life. But it took me a while to get there, you know. I was one of those... Not necessarily walking dead, but half dead, you know.
Definitely.
Because I'm just going, man, I'm just this is it. This is it.
But
so
there has to be something better. There has to be something better.
Yeah, and it takes us into the next topic that I want to go to, job versus hobby. You know, job and hobby. You know, right now, some of us have to have jobs because we have to pay bills and we have to do
mm-hmm.
things, whatever. Some of us
mm-hmm.
are very fortunate that we've saved up enough that we don't have to. But I've been proposed a lot of times. I have passion to do this, but it doesn't pay a lot of money. I can't make what I'm doing over here like I would do over here. Well, there could be a balance between the two.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can figure out strategies to make your hobby, you know,
pay.
Your pay. But see, here's the thing. If you treat it as a hobby, it's always going to be a hobby.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You're going to get hobby pay for hobby efforts. You know, you're just dabbling. It's like painting a house one stroke at a time and then leaving.
Right.
And coming back the next day and just hitting it with the brush again, and you're eventually going to paint the house. But it's going to take a while. So, you know, when you're out there and you want to create a hobby to make it into your business, then you have to completely engulf yourself.
Yep.
But while you're engulfing yourself, you know, you may still have that job. Hold on to the job temporarily until you need it. Set good strategies, good business strategies, what you're going to do, where you're going to be, because once you're in business for yourself, the game changes. The game changes because now you're responsible for everything that happens. You are the main core. You're the main, you know, reactor to what happens in this venture that you create.
Mm-hmm.
This is hilarious because I had a very long conversation with somebody last night about this same, saying the same things you're saying.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so so I'm exactly in those shoes that you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So I was doing the 9-to-5 corporate thing, or I'm sorry, the 8 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. corporate thing. So yeah, and it just got to a point where, you know, when my dad passed away a few years ago, it's like I thought he was going to outlive everybody because he was almost 80 and he was out, you know, he was doing physical labor, working a job and running his little, you know, he had some property with some horses and stuff. And then he was politically active and he was, you know, he was. I was like, oh, my God, this dude is going to outlive everybody on the earth. He's just, you know, gaining energy and strength at, in his late 70s, you know, just rolling over people with, you know, energy. So, but, you know, when he passed away, before any, you know, I have all the rest of my parents and step-parents, you know, that was an eye-opener to me. Because I'm like, you know what, I mean, you know, we all think, you know, there's statistics out there between, you know, with averages, average life expectancies and stuff like that. And that's what they are. They're averages. But, you know, mm-hmm. the average life expectancy is, you know, 72. And, you know, if you pass away at 50, then you don't really give a shit about what the average life expectancy was.
Yeah, right.
You know, that 72 average doesn't do very good. It doesn't do a lot of good to the person who passes away when they're 50.
Mm-hmm.
So an average is just that. It's an average, essentially, kind of a. And I do a lot of that stuff because I do sports statistics and research for sporting events that are on TV and radio.
Mm-hmm.
So I do lots of averages and stuff, and I do. But in the real world, in reality, the averages don't do us one hell of a lot of good if it's something, you know, personal and whatnot. So I got to the point where. I thought everything in my life was coming together, and I thought everything was leading up to this point. And I have known for a while that while I get along great with my coworkers at every job I've been at, and I normally get along well with my bosses, I am differently wired, and the illusion of me being a follower my whole life is just that, it's an illusion. I'm much better at blazing my own trail and doing new and different and weird stuff because that's how I roll. That's how my whole life has been from, you know, I like the most obscure sports teams, I like the most obscure music. My whole life is off the beaten path, and that's where, you know, being a Pisces, being Neptune ruled, that's where I live and that's where I thrive. I take time and study and learn the stuff that nobody else knows or understands or cares about or whatnot. But, you know, I can see now where things that I thought were a waste of time earlier in my life have served me very well right now because I just happen to have some knowledge in some weird areas where there's not many people that have some knowledge.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, 98% of success is showing up.
Yeah,
you know, getting there, being there. You know, the other 2% is just the work that you're actually doing.
Yep.
You know, the rest of it's just the passion and being and engulfed in what you're, you know, what you love to do. You
Absolutely.
Know,
and you can feel that in your and when you're doing something you love to do versus going and working for someone else. You can just, I mean, my energy level has so shifted in the last year, just from, you know, where my energy comes from and the energy level I have.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's like, you know, I may not be the smartest person out there or the maybe not always the most organized or best time manager, but no one on this planet is going to out-hustle me. No one. So that's just how it is.
That's something funny you mentioned hustle because I was just thinking of my grandparents' time and when they were around my age or something like that. And I can look to see where they had their they worked, they had their own hustles, so to speak. One side were working class, the other side were business or business class. My dad's parents were business people, but my grandfather, on my dad's side, he always had his little, what I call hustles, where he had to go around different business people and different things he had going on besides the business he had. He had a mortuary, a funeral home. And then he had a couple little things on the side where I went with him and he would tell me, don't tell your grandmother, don't tell your dad, which was fine with me because if I kept getting to go along with him to different places, then I'd keep my mouth shut. And I wouldn't tell on him. The same on my mom's side. They always had their other little enterprises. My grandmother worked for Sheraton Hotel. She was one of the first black managers of Sheraton's housekeeping system, and she put into place a lot of things that are in place today. And my grandfather, he worked for a steel company or a furnace company, Armstrong Furnace or Steel or something like that, that used to be in Columbus, Ohio. They were working people, but they each had their little businesses on the side. My grandmother would take in laundry and do, I remember having a big industrial dryer in the basement of her house and one of those big pressing machines and big industrial washer. Now, we were allowed to use the regular washer and dryer that she had, but the big industrial ones, we were not to touch those at all. For fear of getting our backside tanned if we touched them or we got caught touching them. And my grandmother would also cook. There were times that she made a dozen pies or a dozen cakes or something like that. And then later on, they both had, when they got rid of their second little enterprises on the side, my mom's parents had a restaurant and a little grocery store. So we would work as children, helping out in the restaurant and the grocery store and stuff. And then I would help out with my other side in the funeral home. So it's just like there were several streams of income. Each side of the family had several streams of income. And they wanted to where their children and their grandchildren didn't have to do what they had to do because times were hard back then. There was a lot of prejudice and both sides being mixed, mixed in race, in the races, they had it a bit hard. But they made it work. They made their lives work. They were business people. They bought new cars periodically. They had the stuff in their homes decked out the way they wanted to have them decked out, and they wanted better for their children. Unfortunately, their children did have better, and they wanted better for their grandchildren, but the children blew things to where by being, I hate to say, some of them were spoiled, to where us as grandchildren did not reap the same benefits or did not have the same opportunities, and most of us had to tread our own, write our own script or go down our own road, our own path because of that. But my point is you should have your own, you know, streams of income or a couple different things to fall back on, because both of my grandparents always said, the best thing they taught us, not that, you know, they left us any kind of money, but they left a legacy. Always have several different things to fall back on. Have several different talents you can do, different things you can use as income, whether you know how to do banking or make pies or do someone's laundry, clean a house, open a business, work in a corporate setting, whatever. Have several different ways of bringing income into your life. Now, a lot of people today, I know I'm talking long, but a lot of people today have these multi-level income things, and those are a tragedy because the person at the top ends up making the money. We just had a friend of ours try to hustle us into being in a multi-level marketing scheme. But we had to turn him down because we had to tell, he was much younger than us, and we had to say we've all been there, done that, not getting into it again. So, but if that's your thing and if it's working for you, great. That's another stream of income for you. I'm happy for you. But, yeah, the point is always have something you can fall back on, no matter what it is. I bake. I bake bread for my friends and some of my family, and Sometimes I get paid for it, sometimes I don't, but, you know, that's something I have, and something I do intuitive readings, and things by phone or online or preaching or teaching or something like that, and I get donations, and sometimes I don't get donations, but things are taken care of. I'm not starving. I'm not starving. I got gas in my car. I get to do so. Somehow the universe, God, my faith, I'm really a believer in faith. Somehow I'm taken care of. You know, things work out.
Yeah, I try not to knock other types of systems like multi-level marketing because there are people who work it and make big money. And the guys up top are going to make money because they started the business. You know, they deserve to make that money. You know, like, you know, you reap, you sow and you reap, sow and you reap. It's a whole different concept of business. I'll tell you that right now. It's a whole different animal. It's not like you just go to the store and you show up. You actually have to have person-to-person contact, one-on-one, and you have to be... We're selling every day, okay?
Right,
I hate to
right,
say this. People say, oh, I don't like that kind of business because I have to sell. But that's their choice. They have the right to choose that. But, you know, how many times have you told somebody to go to the movies? Oh, you got to go see Dracula. Oh, my God, Dracula.
You're
selling
the movie.
But how much money did you make off that?
Nothing.
Not nothing. But AMC is making money, you know, because now you go and you get there and you sell it. And I think what happens with multi-level marketing, people don't, most people who get involved have never been in any type of business. They've never had any type of connection. And I think, especially in multi-level marketing, you have to have a good foundation of people who train people properly. Everything's edification. If you don't have a good edification system and if you don't have a good system of support behind you, it makes it really difficult.
Mm-hmm.
It makes it very super difficult. And everything is duplicatable. It has to be duplicatable. One of my biggest gripes about multi-level marketing is this. When you find that person who's very charismatic and they want to have these house parties and stuff and have food laying out for everybody, that's not duplicatable. That's unduplicatable. Mm-hmm. You cannot duplicate that because you know what? Not everybody can do that or afford that.
Mm-hmm.
You want to be able to be simple, basic, to the point, and sell and be and love the product and say, hey, some people don't love the product. People love the money, you know, the money stream that comes in. And that's what motivates them, and that's fine. But duplication is super important in multi-level marketing. Someone has to be able to do what you do.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I'm charismatic and you're not charismatic or you don't think you're charismatic, it's going to be hard. Oh, but Iggy, you can do it because you're good at talking to people. But you have to be able to step out of your own, you know, self and go, okay, why? Tony here can't do what I do, but Tony can do this. You know, so that's how multi-level marketing should work. And when I was an Amway distributor for a long time, and I was direct distributor, a lot of things that was good about Amway, that was the best university I ever had, best college I ever had, business-wise, everything they taught me about business, how to talk to people, how to associate. And but the problem is with multi-level marketing, the next big thing comes and everybody jumps over there. You know, and that was my biggest downfall, that I couldn't keep people motivated or keep them in the system, you know, because, oh no, Iggy, we're going to make more money over here. Amway's cool, but you know, that's old school, you know. Yeah, they're the first and they're the ones. Neutralite was the first, actually. But, you know, anyhow, the point is they go to the next cool thing. Oh, but I get paid right now, you know. And people, it's about money. People are motivated by the money. And I get that. So multi-level marketing is a good system. I think Donald Trump said if he lost everything, he'd go into multi-level marketing.
Mm-hmm.
Some people just have the gift and the tools to build things back up.
Good product, a lot of, you know, it sells itself if you have a good product too.
Yeah. And
hey, I love Amway products. They're concentrated. They last a long time. They're good for the environment. That's a good, and they're still here. What did they start back in the late 60s, and they're still present in today's world? Is what, 2014? And they're still around. I can go online now and order Amway products if I want to. So.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying they're the best or, you know, whatever, but, you know, you have to believe in things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like if you're a tailor. You mean, you don't go somewhere else to get your clothes tailored, you know? You use your own shop, you know?
Yeah.
And that's you know,
use my own sewing machine at home.
Maybe you go to the other tailor to learn techniques, but things don't change. But like when I own a restaurant, you know, I only go to other restaurants just to see what they're doing. But I don't make it a habit to go out and eat. And, you know, I already have a restaurant to eat at. Why am I going to support my own business? My wife, she's a hairstylist. they ever knew that she would go somewhere else to get her haircut, they'd fire her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or she, anything that related to her business, she'd be fired, because you know, they have it. You don't need to go over there because we have it here.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the thing is, I don't try to knock anybody. I may just not agree with them, like you don't agree with certain things and mm-hmm. you don't agree. There's just some things that people aren't, they can't do it. They're not, some people aren't geared to be business people. And when you're in these multi-level marketing business or any kind of business, you have to become a business person. You are the boss, and you have many bosses at that point.
Mm-hmm.
When the restaurant opened up, I had everybody who walked in the door was my boss, and they were critiquing me and letting me know if I was doing things according to their standards. Not necessarily mine, how they created a standard for themselves. And so for me, it was difficult because I thought I was doing a good job. I thought I was doing well. But you learn from those mistakes. You mm-hmm. learn from the people who are around you. And so conventional business has one structure, and multi-level marketing has another structure.
Mm-hmm.
So the topic, we kind of got off topic, but it's a hobby. You know, multi-level marketing is kind of like, is the hobby
mm-hmm.
at first. You know, but then eventually once you gain steam, there are people who can be in your downline and can pass you in money. They can totally make more money than you
now
if you don't work.
Now, I wasn't knocking multi-level marketing, you all, if anybody
thinks
I
didn't
was
say
knocking
that.
It.
Yeah. She wasn't knocking. I'm just making
right
my being in multi-level marketing over the years
mm-hmm.
and the different things. And everybody thinks just because you had a cool personality that you should be a fit, you know, an in. Oh, he's gonna make me millions, you know.
I've supported my friends that were in. I mean, I bought their products and whatnot. I just said I can't be under you. I'll buy the products. I'll support you that way. But I'm not a salesperson. I mean, I can sell haphazardly, like I love my Tootsie Roll Pops, and when I mention Tootsie Roll Pops, I'm selling Tootsie Roll Pops.
Right.
Of course, you know how we do. So, it's I've always supported my friends and family, whatever they've gotten into. I know I just can't go out there and make phone calls and sell. That's not me. I don't have that. Unless...
Yeah, but you know that. You know that. And that's important. That's important to know your strengths and weaknesses and then try to build on them. But, you know, now what I'm talking about here is people who actually are musicians, people who actually want to start a landscaping business,
mm-hmm.
more of a conventional business. You know, there was an article I wrote several years ago. It was called The Little Billboard 3.5x2. It's your business card. I tell you, that little business card is probably one of the most powerful tools you could ever have. You know, I try not to be without them because it's just a way for you to get in touch with people. And I've talked about this before on the show. It used to be you have 30 seconds to put your spiel out there and let people know what it is. But you know, that's gone down to 10 seconds now.
Mm-hmm.
In 10 seconds, if you can't say what you do, you lose people. Because we have so much information and so much stuff that inundates us every day that you got to be so unique and so different sometimes that people just got to... So, wow, I want that. I need that. I need that because, you know what? Oh, he's this. I can't get that anywhere else. You know, so for me, you know, when people ask me a question, I have to be, like, concise and to the point. And people catch you off guard sometimes. Oh, what do you do for a living? I do nothing.
I'm a bum. I sit around and eat Tootsie Roll Pops all day.
But the point is, you have to have your little script.
Yeah, true.
You know, and it has to be sincere, too. It can't be just something that... You know, and when you fumble around, that's the worst. But, you know, the biggest, coolest thing, I just say, hey, you know what? I'm just living the life, man. And then, you know, that intrigues people. What are you doing? All kinds of stuff. Would you like to know? So you got to have to build up your own little personality, your own little thing, you know, your own little character.
And if they see that that your energy is good and that you, you know, seem to be full of life and stuff, then people want... That immediately kind of sells your product there, I think, your services or whatnot, because you see, you don't want to go up to somebody like, oh, I'm a spiritual healer.
Yeah.
You know
what
I mean?
Spiritual.
Right. It's like, yeah, I help people fix their lives.
Yeah. I mean, keywords are super important, you know. Keywords are super important, and that's something that we as business people, we always have to be creative. We got to learn to, like, go out there and you know, up ourselves the next day, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I know some days you just don't want to talk about anything. You just kind of want to do your thing. But, you know, everybody's a potential. Everybody's, you know, has... You'd be amazed what you learn from other people. Mm-hmm. Clients.
Yeah, because...
You know, they're our best teachers.
People like, what do you do? I'm a minister.
And so it conjures up things in their mind.
Mind. Mm-hmm.
You know, a minister. Okay, so they go, oh, so you're a Christian minister? What kind of minister? But then when they think, you tell them you're a Native American minister as well, on top of the ministry that you do, you know, it just opens up a whole window.
Mm-hmm.
And so their call-in number is 646-595-3440 if you want to call in. Again, that's 646-595-3440. We'd like to hear your thoughts about business. I know we have several business people online on the chat room who maybe they have some insights that they want to share with folks. Because I find it important. I think people have things to share. I don't know everything. You know, I know certain things that work for me, and it's been productive for me, so I try to share those things. And I find it really good. And I know we have Peacemaker 101, and then we have Four Rivers. They're in the chat room, and we have guests 455. We want to welcome you to the chat room and to the show. We hope you're enjoying it. We're going to take a little pause here, and we'll be right back.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network, your free online holistic publication resource radio for trusting your intuition, achieving self-discovery, and following your soul self.
Welcome back to With Insights Radio, Lunchtime Wisdom with Katie Singenagle, Mark Matheny, and Iggy Garcia. We are live here somewhere in the universe, floating around in outer space, sharing our thoughts, sharing our co-collective experiences. And I think that's what's important, is that we all have different things to share and different experiences that we've all had. And those are our experiences, and those are valuable.
Mm-hmm.
And give that to people. So, where would you like to go from here?
Just like you were talking about people being in dark places and whatnot in their life, and I can associate with that, if that's the right word, because I've been there. There was times in my life where I wanted to take my own life. I was done.
Mm-hmm.
I was finished with this existence. I didn't think anybody would care, or anybody loved me, or anybody would care if I was here one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
But later on, when I got those bad scripts and negative things out of my mind, I found out that I did matter, that I did have a purpose,
mm-hmm.
that I was here for something. And this life, this existence, wasn't about me. It was about what I can do to help other people,
mm-hmm.
and what my purpose was, and how I can help other people in this existence, and how they can get through this plane also and eventually ascend to the next one. So
who manifested this radio show? You or me? Or him or her?
It was in the eye of God.
But you know what I'm saying?
Right.
There's no out there. You know, the out there is, you know, we think there's something out there we have to grasp, but it's all inside of us, you know, and it manifests itself outwardly. You know,
mm-hmm.
and the world sees that, you know, when we love ourselves. And, you know, loving ourselves is probably the hardest thing for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, to actually fall in mm-hmm. love with yourself in all aspects, dark and light aspects of ourselves. Because we do have that. Living in total light, you could be blinded by it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? If you can't see that there's a shadow behind you, that there's a reflection in the mirror, you know, then you're kidding yourself. That's my opinion. That's my belief. If I can say, hey, I embrace my things that are, I have bad quirks and the things that I don't do right, then, you know, I'm halfway there. I'm doing better.
Mm-hmm.
But if I go, oh, no, love and light. Oh, it's all love. I get it. It is all love. All of it's love. All love.
The dark's love.
Everything's all love.
Love.
You know, when you look and you say, hey, you know what, Iggy? You messed up. But you know what? It's okay. We all mess up, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Move on. It's how long we stay in that. How long we stay in that,
in that
experience. How long
it.
We stay in that negative, you know, whatever you want to call it. We wallow, whatever. You know, a lot of people get stuck. You think people get stuck? People get stuck for decades or lifetimes.
Mm-hmm.
Had this conversation last night, too. you must have been... Did you bug me or something? Were you listening to... Do you work for the NSA? Do you listen to my
cell phone? Yeah, I work for the...
Mm-hmm.
something buzzing in my ear.
Yeah. Sorry.
But yeah, it is. People get stuck. In fact, I was talking with someone, and we were talking about how it's funny how some people get stuck in the past and can never get out. Other people are kind of always future projecting, like kind of living in the future. And then it's hard to be here and present in this moment a lot of times. And some people get just stuck forever. I think it's, you know, some of it is they have things to work out. Some of it is they don't maybe have the right influences or knowledge around them. They get stuck with a lot of similar people around them that are their influence base that are, you know, maybe negative or...
Well, it's a good point you bring that up.
Not focused on, you know, the bigger picture. Like I have said 8 million times, you know, reality is working on three levels and everything at all times.
Right.
There are three levels of existence we're experiencing at one time. And depending on how connect, when we try to fix a spiritual problem can turn into an emotional problem and can manifest itself physically. If we don't fix it on all three levels or start with the spiritual or highest level and work our way down, then we may never get unstuck from that because we can just be trying to fix just the physical symptoms of stuff, and that doesn't work. And so an important lesson I've learned is to try not to judge people, because like you said at the very beginning of the show, it's somebody may be really pissy or angry or feel emotionally shut off or whatnot, but you don't know what they're... That you don't know if they had a pet just pass away. You don't know if they just lost a parent or just you don't. Mm-hmm. They may be making tremendous effort to be up and walking around that day.
Right.
You don't know. I mean, it's like, you know, if I took anybody out there, if you just go home and grab a book that you have at home that you haven't read, you know, open it to page 127 and read. I mean, you can tell me what's on page 127, but you have no idea what's on page 1 through 126. You don't know what's happened before and after. You're just catching a little... If you go out to a grocery store today and run into somebody, you don't know. You kind of can read their energy right there, but you don't know what's happened to them before and at what point they are... So I talked about that last night,
no,
too.
No.
As far as, you know, astrology readings, it's like it's not... I mean, let's face it, anybody can go right now and put in their birth date on several different websites and get a generic astrology report. Some of them are pretty decent. But what you don't get is there's several recurring themes or indicators in a chart that really gives you insight. You have to, I mean, when I look at somebody's chart, I might look at their sun sign and I look at, you know, their normal, you know, where their moon is and that kind of stuff. But what I'm really looking for, I'm looking, where's the wound? Everybody has a wound that affects the whole rest of their chart, and it's a puzzle. You have to find out what's in someone's birth chart, what's the motor? What's the catalyst that drives everything else? Because there'll be one wound or one event or some configuration in their chart that alters it. And like I tell everybody, you know, when I do a reading, everybody has one thing at least in their chart that doesn't operate normally in the cookie cutter. You know, if you go pull up, you know, what does Mars and Gemini mean or whatnot.
Well, we have a caller.
There's always one thing that doesn't function normally, and you have to find what that is and apply that to everything else.
Okay. Very good.
To really understand what the...
Before we take this
caller
here, you did mention something. You know, we vibrate at all different levels all the time. So sometimes we're in a higher vibration, sometimes we're in a lower, in a middle, you know, and
absolutely.
Then we attract certain people into certain vibrations. Then we're like,
absolutely.
Wow, how do we attract that person to a vibration? You know, how are they here? Because, you know, like energies attract. We're like that beacon. We're like that light. So I'd like to say I vibrate in the medium to high versus medium to low. So, because, you know, I don't have good days either. You know, I have days where I'm just, you know, I'm just kind of like get zapped by the bug light, you know. But I always find that really interesting. I know when I'm not vibrating properly because certain just certain things flow into my life a certain way.
Yes.
And when I'm vibrating in another frequency, I can tell.
Yes.
You know.
Absolutely.
So let's take a call from a good friend of ours, Brian, and bring him onto the show here. Welcome to the show, Brian.
Hey, how you doing, Iggy?
Good. What's going on, man?
Well, greetings from Little Egypt. Just
welcome.
Hey.
Got your notification for the show, and
beautiful.
Finally, I'm not busy at this hour, so I
thought
right. I'd call in, and it was strange because I'm juggling all of my multiple streams of business income and listening to the discussion, and it just seemed very appropriate at the moment.
Very good. So anything you want to share with us?
Well, there's a lot going on, of course. As you know, I primarily work as a publisher and an educator online,
mm-hmm.
and there's a lot going on. I kind of have managed to pick a what we call a micro niche, yes, a very, mm-hmm. very small target audience, which has to do with the Cherokee language.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Is probably where, I'd say a third of my publications are on that, and we're in a project right now to bring the books of the New Testament out individually in both Cherokee and English.
Wow.
And so that's moving along pretty well. We're as far as Corinthians and getting to work on Galatians.
Wow. Sweet.
Sounds good.
And this is important because this has been used traditionally as a way to teach Cherokee speakers how to read and write, both in Cherokee but also in English. So it's, regardless of somebody's own personal belief system, it's a great tool to have. But I keep working in other areas as well. As you know, Iggy, I work with Chinese medicinal herbs. I work with hypnotherapy and all things to do with the mind and the way people see things, which is why I really was appreciating what you said about the fact with the hidden pitfall in multi-level marketing. Oh, there are two. One is that people come into it with no real concept of what they're getting into and no basic business skills or basic business concepts. They're
right.
just believing, you know, whatever the sponsor has told them, and they're going to just, take it a spoonful at a time, like baby food. Well, it helps a lot if you have some concept of the way business really works. And that's one reason you have such a big wipeout rate in multi-level. But not only in multi-level, but in all businesses, people going into any kind of a business
mm-hmm.
really need to get a basic grounding in how business works, the difference between being a business owner and being an employee. We find ourselves, and I'm sure you do as well, even with all of your experience, how much mm-hmm. of the time do we actually find ourselves behaving like an employee? And by that I mean mm-hmm. we've got a list of tasks, and we do the tasks, and we keep busy, and we keep busy on something that looks like it's probably valuable to the business, but we're really in our recesses of our mind, we're still behaving like the way we did on our first or second job, which is look busy in case the boss comes around and asks you what you're doing.
That would be my wife.
Yeah, but we're not always or not necessarily doing whatever would be the most productive. One thing I found is to stop every now and then and ask myself, what could I be doing right now that would be the most productive thing to do with this
mm-hmm.
time? Not just the greatest amount of busy work.
Yep, so that's a great point.
And we have to translate that. Yeah, and we have to translate that if we're in business. You know, those of us who have a spiritual attitude, a spiritual outlook on life, we hate to do this. But if you're in business, it boils down to money. And money can be a great equalizer. It can be very fair. It's a way of keeping score.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean you're being a good sport or that you're being the best athlete in the world. It means you're winning the game or you're ahead or behind at the game. It's like a thermometer. You're either
right.
running a little warmer or a little colder. We sometimes attach a little bit too much to those numbers.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if we have to decide, did you go into business or did you go into charity work? Did you go into money
mm-hmm.
into business to make money or to give stuff away?
Mm-hmm.
And all of us know that there's a constant demand on us to give away products or services.
Mm-hmm.
And
constantly.
And we have to know where to draw the line, because sometimes we try to please everybody. And, you know, you can do that unless you're calling it a business. If you're calling it a business, you have to be getting ahead financially. Otherwise, you're wasting your time.
Hey, Brian, I have a question for you. I mean, I know
sure.
you said you answered some of the things within the statement you made. Why is it the metaphysical world seems to have such a hard time, the people who work in the metaphysical world, producing an income for themselves?
Okay, you want the really uncomfortable truth?
Just let it fly, because I know we have a lot of friends who listen to this show, and you know what? They may need to hear this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they may need to hear it. Okay, one reason is because we have a lot of people in the metaphysical community, spiritual community, religious church community, who fall victim to magical thinking rather than facts. I wrote a series of books called Law of Attraction Without Magical Thinking. There is very, very basic science, psychology on Law of Attraction, what part of it works, what part of it doesn't, and why. But a lot of people will gravitate towards what sounds good, what feels good, and the way they wish the world was. And this is unfortunate, because then they never get a grasp of why things really work. And it's like we see the same thing. You have all of these dietary Facebook graphics that go up every now and then. There was one the other day that said 100 calories worth of broccoli has 3 times the protein as 100 calories worth of beef. Yeah, you see that and you go, wow, really? I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. And then you go, but most people don't take the next step. And again, my own background is I was an investigative journalist. I was a news anchor. I did a lot of talk shows. And you have to go back and do your research. And you say, is this true or not? Let me go to reliable sources. And you go to reliable sources. And I found out eventually what happened is there was a study. And what happened is the person who put the graphic together reversed two of the columns. So actually it was the beef that had more protein, but at almost the same numbers that he was quoting. Okay, so he simply got the numbers backwards. But
right.
If something sounds ridiculous, check it out. And learn the difference between checking things out with reliable sources and checking it out with anybody who can throw something up on the Internet.
Right.
So there's a lot of this, and this gets into, you know, this affects us a lot because most of us are involved in some sort of complementary healing.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to be very honest, and now, of course, with the new church ethics guidelines, we have to be very scrupulous about what we say about what we're doing. And, you know, there are people out there who are doing diagnosis, who have no business doing diagnosis. Well,
right.
This is the way I think this should work, or, you know, I'm going to love vomit into a cure or something. And you have to kind of be willing to face reality. And, you know, you can dress it up, you can put really pretty wrappings on it, but you have to get to the point that you have to be willing to back up things. For example, I'll tell people, can you back up? Can you back that up with a double-blind or peer-review study? And very often people can't do it. Very often people don't know what I'm talking about. They're quoting something they heard.
Right.
And so it's the same way with business. With business, you get down to, great, let's set up a basic bookkeeping spreadsheet, and let's see at the end of 1 month, 2 months, 6 months, are you making money or are you losing money?
Right.
And for a lot of people in, let's go back to multi-level marketing, a lot of people in multi-level marketing never do that because they've never been taught that's important. If they did, you would find out that in across the span of multi-level marketing, I'll take Amway for example, a few years ago they were subjected to forensic accounting, and they found out that virtually nobody in Amway made any money. by selling mm-hmm. Amway products. All right?
Yeah, with the products. Yeah, with products, no. Yeah, I agree.
No, mm-hmm. You made your money if you were at the level where you were permitted to then sell the tools. They, right. If you were in that tools business, that's when you could start making some real money. And what they did in Britain for a while is they banned the tool business. And they were at the point of saying, gee, maybe we will forbid Amway from calling itself a money-making opportunity since they cannot show us that anybody makes money. What they showed was 95% of the people lost money and about 5% broke even unless they were doing a tools business.
And that tools business is huge, man.
That tools, and for people who don't understand what we mean by business, we mean holding seminars, holding the workshops, mm-hmm. writing books, having the other distributors in your clique use your book as the mandatory text. And so I just say, hey, I can do all that without being in Amway. And
yeah,
so,
absolutely.
So I have about 70 books out right now.
Now, where can we find you, Brian, online? I'd like to promote you. And maybe you put it in the chat, too. I mean,
sure.
I'd like
I'll
to help
do
my
that,
friends.
But,
and I'm
yeah,
in
fact,
that
I'm redoing a lot of things. I'll tell you what. You can, Jess, you can look me up on Facebook, of course, Brian Wilkes. And I'm in the process of redoing some of my my pages. And you can go to TuscanyGlobal.com. And right now, if you go there, one of the first things you'll see, link it near the top of the page, is download our free catalog.
Okay.
And that has most of my books to date. I have to update everything because I work rather quickly as far as book production.
Now, is this an e-book form or is this hard copy?
No, some of them are in e-book form as Kindles. Some of them are as PDFs. But I've learned that, believe it or not, the real money is in physical books. It's in these are trade paperbacks.
Yeah, and some people would just like to have the feel, you know, in their hands.
Yeah, absolutely. There is always going to be a market for physical books, and or at least during our lifetime, there will certainly always be one. And also, you deal with people who have power failures or whatever, or their computer goes down.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Yeah, so I base everything around physical books first, and then I add on the others. And this coming year, we're going to get into audio books, and right now Joyce is working on presentations that she'll put into an online video form on genealogical research. If you've been following what I've been doing, largely with the tools and skills I learned from Joyce, mm-hmm. is we've been doing a lot of work on genealogy. I just put in my 2800th name in my family tree.
Oh wow!
This morning, and I go back to just about every royal family in Europe and the Middle East. So
my father is Marquise Bermudez Marquise, so maybe we're related somewhere.
Well, hey, we'll have to check that on the Spanish side. I have mm-hmm. a lot of Spanish ancestry I didn't know I have. Spanish, Portuguese, Basque.
Cool.
So yeah, absolutely. But I also didn't know. Pardon?
Bermudez de Castro.
Bermudez de Castro. See, the way you're pronouncing that is Castilian. Okay. Okay, but yeah, I also found, Armenian, Armenian.
But, you know, you look Peruvian. You know that, right?
I've been told that.
Yeah, you look Peruvian to me. And sometimes some pictures, I look at some of the pictures of you and me, and you have the eyes kind of slant a little bit down. We have that that native look.
I do have that native look. In fact, what's funny is I've been mistaken over the years. I've been mistaken as Nisei, part Japanese, because I worked in martial arts for so long, people thought I was part Japanese.
Me too.
And
the cheekbones.
Mm-hmm. I got cheekbones, babe. We got cheekbones.
He's
we
like
got
Chuck
cheekbones
Norris.
To spare. Well, you know, Norris is Indian.
Yeah, I figured that. Yeah.
Norris is Indian. His first name is actually Carlos.
Oh, yeah. My grandmother met him at the restaurant 1 year.
Before
we were in the restaurant. His brother owned properties in Columbus that they were developing, and they were there. My grandma, I don't know how she saw him. She was in the kitchen. She came running out, and she goes, taps him on the shoulder. She goes, "You're Chuck Norris, right?" And she goes, "Yep." He goes, "I love Chuck Norris." And she took pictures with him and everything. It was so cute.
What, was it his brother Aaron?
I don't know his brother, but I knew he was with his brother that day.
Yeah, okay. That was one of his brothers who is, you know, big in the business world. But yeah, but also I've been mistaken for, I used to work with a Russian author. We were collaborating on a book about, almost 30 years ago. And he used to call me the Buryat. And Buryat is a Siberian tribe.
Nice.
But he said my bone structure and my cheekbones looked like I was a Siberian native.
Yeah, I could see that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you, the first trip to Peru, I had confirmation because I saw this kid, a couple of kids walking out in the middle of nowhere, this long road, no trees, no bushes. You know how it gets up in the highlands there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, light sweaters and it's cold and they're just walking. I asked my host, I said, "Where'd they come from and where are they going?" I said, "Oh, well, mm-hmm. they came from a village about 5 miles back that way, and they're going about another 5 miles down that way." I said, "Well, what are they doing?" He said, "Oh, they're walking to school." And, we're cool. And, yeah, not everybody has school buses. And I suddenly realized, my father told me every time I made a fuss about getting on the school bus, that when he was a kid, he had to walk 10 miles to and from school.
Uphill.
Uphill, both ways. And at that point, I realized my father must have been Peruvian.
There you go. That's funny.
I used to hear those too, but people in my family were from Appalachia.
Yep. That's where our people are from too. Goodness. Yeah.
I do have a question for you.
Certainly.
So you did mention magical thinking. About the
magical
metaphysics.
Thinking.
So how do you get somebody out of magical thinking? So how would you, like, if you were coaching somebody, you know, how do you get them out of there?
There only are two ways. And one is you actually present people with facts, verifiable facts, and say, you've been trying it your magical thinking way and it isn't working. Try it this way with the facts. And the other way is not at all. Because some people will retreat deeper into their magical thinking because it's comfortable. And they will stay there. They will climb back into the cocoon no matter what you do. And those people, you can't really help that way. But there are a lot of people, most people who take up on things like law of attraction. For one thing is I've changed the language. You know, if you know the typical law of attraction language, as you hear, for example, in The Secret, right? They're always talking about the universe will give you this. Well, I've changed that from universe to innerverse, because what I mean when I say the innerverse or the universe is what's going on inside your own head. They speak of broadcasting your intentions out to the universe. It sounds like, you know, you've got a radio telescope at Arecibo, Puerto Rico or something, and you're sending a message out, and then this big blue genie who lives on Alpha Centauri is going to come back and grant your wish. And that, we both know that's not what happens, right?
Right.
Or I hope we know that's not what happens.
That'd
but
be cool,
what
though.
I say, in fact, what's happening is you are sending a message to your own mind, to your own subconscious. And we deal with something in hypnotherapy called the critical faculty, or either critical faculty or critical factor, depending on which school of hypnotherapy you're from. And that's kind of the guard, the watchman at the door, that decides which ideas are real, which ideas are consistent with what it already believes. Not with fact or falsity, but with what it already believes. And it decides what will be admitted and what will be rejected. Well, what you do is you send a new set of parameters to that critical faculty. And it goes, oh, now we are admitting this. Cool. And gradually you start seeing. So when you're doing all of your visioning for increased business success, let's say, you're not saying, please, gimme, 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 gimme. What you're saying is, I want to be able to see every opportunity that crosses my path. Not even I want more opportunities to come. I just want to be able to see the ones that are there.
Right.
Okay, and when I see the ones that are there, I want to have the confidence to act upon them in an appropriate manner. Because that's the big thing, is you can sit and think about it all you want, but eventually you have to cross the line into actual action.
So you're almost talking about self-talk, you know, being able
it
to...
It is self-talk.
Yeah, self-talk. You're talking to yourself.
Yes.
Yeah. And believing the self-talk, believing what you're saying to yourself.
You know, gradually you will believe it. You will believe things. Again, your critical faculty believes things based on the results it sees. You start by showing it results. When I taught martial arts, people mm-hmm. would bring their kids, and I'd say, why do you want them to study martial arts? They'd say, because mm-hmm. I want them to develop confidence, and I heard the martial arts can give you confidence. Mm-hmm. Well, they can if you do it right. If you do anything right, you get confidence that you can do that right, and you move on to the next thing. But if you screw it up from day one, you don't get confidence. You get reinforcement of the fact that you're a screw-up. So I can't guarantee that he's going to learn confidence. I can guarantee we will teach him correctly, and we will be on him to do it correctly. And, you know, what he does with that is up to him. But nobody can guarantee I'm going to give you confidence. If it came in a pill, everybody would have it.
Right. And that's a good point, too. You know, that's a really good point with martial arts. Absolutely. And that's with anything.
Yeah, with anything.
I mean, that's anything you do. That's a great point. Perfect.
And so much of success in any field is based on presenting confidence, not only to the, like, say, a business prospect, because business prospect wants to think that you actually know what you're doing, what you're talking mm-hmm. about. Say, I'm going to teach you how to make lomo saltado. They mm-hmm. want to believe that you actually know how to make the lomo saltado. So whether you do or not, you better sound like you do. If you can make the best in the world, but if you sound like, well, you're very unsure about how to explain it or what it is or how to teach somebody to make it, then you're going to project uncertainty, and people are going to be going, I wonder what's wrong. Something isn't adding up here, and their defenses are going to be up. You see that in any sales situation any day.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
It's all basic psychology. It's just like success in business is based on certain principles that you can't get away from no matter what magic method or latest big thing you're doing. You're still going to get back to this is the way this field works. You know, it's money adds this way. There's a difference between attraction, law of attraction, difference between addition and subtraction. And as I was taught when I lived in Palm Beach, the biggest determinant in whether you're going to succeed or fail is whether you can tell the difference between red ink and black ink. Now, that's kind of a dated reference today. It means for some of your listeners who might be much younger than me, it means the difference between an asset and a debt.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And you get who will say, I have an asset. Well, this is an asset. No, it isn't an asset unless it's bringing money in. If you have a car, let's say. See, we're used to hearing the term assets because it's listed on our divorce filings or on our bankruptcy filings.
Right.
And they say, oh, you have a car in the driveway. That's an asset. No, if all you're doing is paying money to keep that car insured, to keep it on the road, to keep it repaired, that's not an asset yet. It's a potential asset if you use it to make some money.
Right. Totally get
but
that.
It all gets back to, there's a guy on, what's the name of the show, Shark Tank.
Right.
Who mm-hmm. His expression is, if you're in business, it's all about the money all the time. That doesn't mean you do it in an unethical manner. You better be delivering quality. And as I like to say, there really only is one business in the world. Do you know what that is?
What is that?
I was afraid you were going to say sales, and you would have been wrong. Everybody usually says sales because you have to sell it. No, it's customer service.
Customer service. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
If you have the restaurant, yeah, people come in, they sit down. You sell them on having a particular meal, which you have maybe a little better split on, right? But mm-hmm. then on some of the stuff that is underpriced. But if they don't feel they got good service and they didn't get good follow-up service,
mm-hmm.
and the meal could have been great, but the help could have been nasty to them or yeah. whatever. It all comes down to the different elements of customer service, whether that person is going to come back or not. And it's the same way if you're doing an online business. It's all customer service.
Yeah, people want to be served. That's for sure.
I want to be served. They want to
get
what they're... Yeah.
It's for me, that's my money coming out of my pocket. It's an investment in, in time. And here, I want to be... I'm not saying kiss my ass. I'm just saying, treat me right,
Yeah.
Give me the what I'm asking for, What
yeah,
it's worth.
Don't have to kiss it, but don't kick it either.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Don't kick it and expect me to come back.
Right. Absolutely. That's absolutely true. Because my dad was like, you got to make money, but you got to give people what they want. He always tells me that. He always told me that when I was growing up. That's funny you said that. I was like,
My family was in the restaurant business, too, so I know that one the hard way. Nah. And I also know that people will only forgive two bad meals.
That is correct.
They will forgive anything could have happened. Two, maybe. Three, they aren't coming back.
No.
You've lost them permanently. Yep.
Yeah. That's really true.
I did a lot of market research when I used to go over to Paris several times, about every year or so. And people say, why are there so many great, great restaurants in Paris? Very simple reason. Because you can walk a block, maybe two, and find one as good or better.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And so can all of your customers.
Right.
So over there, you get forgiven for one bad meal. Because there's no point. Somebody can walk. It's no big discomfort to go and do it, get another one.
Right.
Yep, a lot of competition. So
very good.
Yep, that's off the top of the head of Grandmaster Brian. But
Grandmaster Brian, we appreciate you calling in and sharing your thoughts and the experiences and all the things that you have to share with us.
And remember, the law of attraction without magical thinking. You can find it on Amazon.
Awesome.
Okay.
He still got that DJ voice.
Yeah. And greetings to everyone at Four Rivers.
I still have that new
still
anchor
that DJ voice.
Yes.
Today on Channel 4.
As I said, we're going into audiobooks this year.
Oh, nice. That'd be cool. I probably do well in audiobooks, because I don't like to write real much. I think I could probably pull off an audiobook somehow. What do you think, Brian? You think I could put off an audiobook?
Well, you never know. You still
can.
Need
you have a good voice.
You can't just.
What's that?
You can't just.
Oh, no, I know.
Oh, okay. But sure, I think you can.
Give everyone at Four Rivers, a hey from Condor Eagle.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sure will. And we'll, I think I already did send you my pesto recipe, didn't I?
Oh, did you send it to you?
No, send it.
Oh, okay. I thought I sent it to you.
I don't know if I have it
here.
Or not.
Ah. Everybody should have that one. That's one of my best.
Yeah, I love that. Good. All right, brother. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for tuning in.
Take care, man.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That was our brother, Brian Wilkes. He's a Nemenha chief. He's also a principal stone carrier of Four Rivers Lodge, I believe, still, if I'm not mistaken. But great information.
Mm-hmm.
So for those of you who want to follow up with Brian and what you liked, you listen to the archive show, Tuscany Global. .com, Brian Wilkes.
And he is located in Southern Illinois?
Southern Illinois. Yeah, he's in Little Egypt.
Which is beautiful country out there. It's very similar to Ohio.
Any closing thoughts?
I would say good advice there, because you do have to, you have to... I probably fall into both the categories he was talking about. Probably fall into the magical thinking, but then too, also I'm constantly checking. It's like, okay, is this worth my time? Is this is this an income stream? Is this something that, you know, feeds my soul or whatnot? Or is this just busy work? Because I know that I'm sure that I get stuck in things and probably get involved in busy work too.
Sure.
So, yeah, so I think it's definitely good to have, you know, some sound
and he's
business 3D reality to help, you know.
Absolutely. It's good to hear other people who have experienced things. And I really wanted to ask that question because our community is probably the biggest community that really struggles with abundance.
Yep.
Even though we teach abundance.
Right.
You know, even the ones who are doing well could be doing better.
And it, you know, there's some kind of, had this conversation last night as well. You just have to come over next time. or apparently you were there.
Could be. Maybe I was channeling.
Yeah, because there is a... oh, God, I have no idea what I was talking about.
The lack of.
Oh, yes. Yes, because it is, I think, because we can easily get separated from, like, the spiritual and the financial, because we think of spiritual as being different from financial. But why doesn't the blue genie on Alpha Centauri want to take care of us? You know, I mean,
sure.
not saying there is, but I'm saying why don't whatever our belief system is, I think we get trapped in this thing as to I do spiritual work, so I can't really have money. So I think we get trapped in that, and it's like, you know, and it's like, why not? Isn't it? I mean, because if I pay for readings from people sometimes, so mm-hmm. it's like, you know, I work and do whatever to get my money. So if I'm paying out money to get a spiritual service, then I'm focusing on that and I'm showing that it's important to me.
Mm-hmm.
So. There is a weird stigmata about if we do spiritual stuff that we feel like we can't make very much money at it or something, or, you know, we don't want to be one of these TV evangelists that has
eight.
So it's like we kind of screw ourselves mentally on that in a way by... You don't have to make money and be screwing people.
Mm-hmm.
And Brian said that, you know. You don't have to. You can make money. It's all about the money, right, and being in business. But you don't have, like you said, you don't have to screw anybody. You don't have to,
right.
The intention, there are people who are going to screw people, and they still make money.
And even back to the, you know, when we were talking about the pyramid business and stuff, if you have whether you're selling horseshoes or Reiki.
I thought you were saying horseshit.
Whether you're selling horseshoes or stocks or chakra alignments, if you have a good product and you or a good service and, you know, you were good at customer service, like he says, and he was totally online with that, because it is about, I'll be... I get put off if I get blown off, if I have a return or you know, an issue with a product or something, that will sour me rather quickly.
And we do have stuff like healing oil and holy water and salve and teas and stuff. If anybody would like some, we offer those kind of things. So it's not snake oil, but I can get you some snake oil if you want some.
Yeah, I got your healing oil. Had someone comment in.
We do take donations and can send you a prayer cloth or a healing cloth if you like to. I mean, we have those things. It's just that we don't always mention them or say, send in your $50 and we'll send you the prayer cloth that hands been laid on.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network, your free online holistic publication resource radio for trusting your intuition, achieving self-discovery, and following your soul self.
keep
perfect.
But we do offer things like that to people who we offer things to people that are our clients, the people that we pray for and work with. So we just don't do it like the evangelists do it.
Right. I'm gonna try it.
Yeah.
This magical drill.
Right. You know. I mean, if. Well, I'm gonna read. I'm gonna rephrase that whole thing in another way too. If someone's gonna pay, you know, Coke makes millions of dollars. You know, billions of dollars a year. With products that have, you know, processed sugars and aluminum and aspartame and stuff in it, and people pay for that. So why is it wrong to make enough money to live off of something that, you know, mm-hmm. hopefully is spiritually healing or something?
Amen.
I mean, we pay for toxins that kill us every day. Why is it looked at as a stigmata?
Because we don't want people to have our magical unicorn in that fashion.
Oh. See, I patented my magical unicorn.
So, my friends in the metaphysical world, I challenge you. I challenge you to go out there and, you know, and be what you say you are. You know, and expect abundance. Tell yourself, I expect abundance. You know, I'm not saying you're going to be a billionaire. I mean, Mark's over here, he's saying, you know, Coca-Cola is selling us freaking chemicals that burn our stomachs and cleans battery acid, carbonate off the thing.
Oh, yeah, people drink it every day. And
they drink it every day, you know? And they're mm-hmm. making billions, and, you know, you think they care? Hell no, they don't care, man. They're just donating money over here and there just so they can look good, you know? And they spend tons of money in advertising so you can buy more of their acid-burning stuff.
I saw
and it can tenderize meat. Stick a good steak in a glass, you know, in a pan with Coca-Cola, and you'll tenderize your meat within about an hour. Or so.
If you really want to see what it does, take any soft drink. I will not. I'm not looking to get sued by Coke yet.
Excuse me.
Cocaine.
Used to be. Sorry.
Yeah, like anybody who works for Coke is listening to this show.
What? I got a phone call. Sorry.
If you have check under your hood of your car, you get the corrosive buildup on your battery cables.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Pour some popular soda product on that, and see how it eats the
acid away.
Right, eats all the corrosive stuff off of it, and then then you're putting that into your body, dude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I have a soda every now and then. So
I
don't drink it every day. I quit years ago drinking it every because I can't have the sugar and I can't have the unsweetened because it has the toxins and it breaks me out and stuff, gives me headaches. So I stick to water and iced tea and coffee. Some people say coffee's just as bad, but hey, what can you do?
Yeah. If I don't get my caffeine, then, you know, someone's going to die. So I'm having my coffee.
No, I'm cool with that. I mean, I have a Coke from time to time. You know, my body can tolerate for certain periods of time.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Our body is very amazing what it can do. And, you know, kind of like magical thinking, you know, and things of how we talk to ourselves. It's all self-talk, like I told Brian. When I mentioned that to him. You know, I could just imagine the stories we're telling our bodies and why we create dis-ease in our body.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, what throws me off is how little kids, I'm not saying this has not ever happened before, but how little kids are just contracting adult diseases.
That's sad.
I saw, this is the worst marketing ad I've ever seen in my entire existence, I think. There was a fast food company who was offering like a free or discounted rate on a popular soda product for like you get the extra large size, and they said that money was going to be donated to help cure like childhood diabetes. I'm like, okay, so you're going to give people more for free of what's causing the problem.
I've seen that ad.
Like, wow, what huge, gigantic balls.
Yeah.
Oxymoron.
you know, some kind of moron.
It's funny, it's funny you say that, but you know, there's a lot of kids. I mean, just I have friends who have close friends that have kids that have, you know, diabetes, and it's like, come on. I mean, I just don't know, man. I just don't know. You know, kids usually aren't thinking about crazy stuff like that, so it's obviously affecting us in a physical capacity. The stuff that we're eating, we're drinking, we're ingesting, breathing. And some kids, because there is some heredity things, and I get that. You know, there's some miasms that go through their body. But I also believe you have some, you can talk yourself to health, too.
Mm-hmm.
I really believe that, because I've done it. You know, and I work on trying to say the right things to myself in the morning when I wake up. I try to wake up with a good attitude. I try to go with a good, mm-hmm. to go to bed with a good attitude. I don't want to, I try not to watch a negative show before I go to bed.
All right.
You know, I either won't watch TV or I'll read something positive, and then I'll go to sleep. That way, because we're always processing. We never stop processing.
Oh,
we're
mm-hmm.
always boom, 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 boom.
Right, and that's how, like, the, you know, the neuro-linguistic programming and all the stuff that we see on TV. I mean, because like our subconscious can take in more information than our, you know, our frontal lobe and our
mm-hmm.
eyes do. So all that, our subconscious is taking in additional information from what we're seeing directly in front of us. So that stuff goes and sits in our subconscious and rummages around and stuff
yeah.
without, like, our frontal lobe really.
It's like different versions of ourselves existing within one version.
Yes, yes.
The subconscious Iggy's.
Hello, Iggy! Are you there yet?
Got a whole lot of lobes.
What's going on, man? I want to promote some shows on Mondays with Insights Radio Forum and card reading. Tuesday, Lunchtime Wisdom, 11:30 a.m. Thursday, An End of Love at 11 p.m. when she decides to go on air. And then new show.
Friday
11 a.m.
Mark the Rabbit Hole.
Mark the Rabbit Hole. And then at 12 midnight. Motto at midnight.
Maybe I'll do mine on Sunday. Gospel Hour with Katie Singing Eagle.
Dun, 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 dun. But those are our shows. Those are our lineups. Our lineups are growing, so that's awesome. I look forward to hearing your show. And then Katie's show, I'm scared. And what we would do, leave her by herself. And I think on Wednesday I'm just going to do the show. Is anybody out there? Hello? E.T. phone home. E.T. phone home.
Dirty Minded Gospel Hour.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. Oh, shoot, I'd get hate mail.
Can I get spanked with the Bible belt?
That's a good way to get promote yourself there. Any closing thoughts, Katie?
Oh, just be good to yourself and good to others.
This sounds like a commercial. Just be good to yourself. I like it. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Just don't be ultra spiritual.
Yeah, ultra spiritual. Are you ultra spiritual? Do you have magical thinking?
Okay, listening audience probably lost on that one.
Yeah, the phone beeped as we said that. Well, anyhow, we want to invite you to a place where you guys could kind of look at yourselves and, you know, just kind of reflect back. All these shows are on archives. So you can go back from day one to present and listen to them all. Probably take you a couple years to do that. But anyhow, we're really happy to do the promotings and the shows that we do on here. We try to bring you quality, you know, broadcasting. And we try to bring it from our heart, not just from facts and things we read or things that, you know, we've learned. We also want to bring it from our heart and from our soul and from our spirit, because it means to us, this is important to us, what we share with you and what we put on the air and what we share. Sometimes we're goofballs, and that's okay. That's just who we are. And that's how we present our love and our you know, giving to the world. And then sometimes we're real serious. You know, today I think we were more on the serious side until about 10 seconds ago. Mm-hmm. And
come share our goofball love.
Yeah. So I'm not sure what's going to happen on Mark's show on Friday. I definitely don't know what's going to happen on Katie's when she has her show. But Yeah, I mean, we're here with Insights. It's here to serve. I'm at iggygarcia.com.
MarkMatheny.com, all E's.
Katie Singing Eagle on Facebook. And if anyone would like to get a hold of me, it's ldycat41@gmail.com. Cool. Just no hate mail.
No hate mail. We appreciate your input. We appreciate your calls. We appreciate your patience. We thank you for tuning in today. And we'll be back next Tuesday with our lunacy and with our wisdom, if you want to call it wisdom, I guess. But either way, we have fun on the show. We have a good time. And we want to send you off with a little dance tune. And that's our show.